Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, co-founder and CEO of Employee Cycle, Bruce Marable, and you know Employee Cycle. We are your friendly people dashboard, helping you to automate your entire HR reporting process. You can be honest here. We know you hate those spreadsheets. They suck. They're painful. You're up late at night trying to pull them together. You haven't done this since college. It's terrible. Well, no longer do you have to deal with that, because all you have to do is sign up for a free trial of Employee Cycle, drop in your API tokens, and we'll pull all your important people data from your systems like Bamboo HR, Zenefits, Namely, Greenhouse, 15.5, Glassdoor, TriNet, all your different HR systems so that you can see all your people data in one place and automate the entire process for you. So you can do more important things like take care of all your employees during a crisis. But that's enough about me and our company, because today we have a very, very awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the podcast, Sarah Clark, Head of People at Urbint. And today we're going to discuss how does work become both a safe space and mental escape during a crisis. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Wow, thank you for that introduction. Great to be here, Bruce.
I can't take all the credit. It's our amazing podcast guests and our studio and everybody here that's just so excited. They looked at your LinkedIn and was like, oh my God, Sarah's coming. This is going to be awesome.
All my fans have made it. I'm so glad.
All your fans, remotely.
That's right, as we do everything these days.
Yes, yes. Also, huge shout out to Sarah, because this is her very first podcast. So how excited and honored are we to have you as and to be your very first podcast.
Yeah,
so Sarah, we're going to kick this off the way we like to do, which is asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, not a super thrilling story. I think for most folk, it's probably pretty similar. I graduated from college in 2010. I had done a lot of counseling, like specifically education counseling when I was in college. And when I got out, I thought that's what I want to do is counseling. But pretty quickly realized that that wasn't exactly right for me. Fell into a job that sort of led me closer to HR. And I really liked the idea of being able to take some more hard facts and concrete data around, like legal operations, those kind of functional pieces of human resources, and tying that to the more softer skill sets around, you know, counseling and hearing people out and listening to people and just all of those softer pieces that come when you're working with humans that are a little bit more difficult to pin down. And just sort of got closer and closer to that with HR, found a friend of a friend who was in HR and kind of helped introduce me to someone who gave me a chance for my first job.
That's awesome. And the HR community is so much better to have you.
Ah, thank you.
All right. So today we're talking about a really interesting topic. How does work become both a safe space and a mental escape during a crisis? And we're going to assume that we're talking about at the same time, for different employees or for the same employees at different points of their journey, an emotional roller coaster as they go through what everybody else is going through. So let's start off with the safe space. What does it look like for work to be a safe space for employees?
Yeah. For us at Urbint, we really want it to be a place where people feel wholly comfortable being themselves, coming to their coworkers, their managers, their bosses, even just other people in the company that they may not interact with day to day, and being able to talk about the things that are important to them, being able to admit if they're going through a hard time and know that they're going to have the backing and support of those around them.
Got it. And then on the flip side, what does a mental escape look like for your employees?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think normally when you think about a mental escape, you're thinking about a mental escape from work, which is why things like PTO are so important in creating a healthy work-life balance. So normally in the pre-COVID world, that's what we really focused on for that mental escape, is allowing people a space to go outside of work, to not have to think about work and sometimes the pressures that come with your day-to-day job. So we, you know, of course, things like happy hours or get-togethers for employees, celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, just time and places, whether during the workday or after the workday, that allowed people to not think about work specifically. And something interesting that we've noticed over these last few months with, you know, all of the unrest going on around the world is sometimes people are now actually looking for work to be that mental escape for them. So instead of looking outside of work and needing a break from that, they're looking for a break from kind of the news and everything else that they may be experiencing in their personal lives, and sort of turning to work as a place to engage their minds in a different way, so they don't have to sort of dwell on maybe the more negative things that are happening outside of work.
On the surface, a safe space sounds like a place where you would get a mental escape. But due to everything that's happening with the economy, with COVID, with racial injustice, with stress and anxiety that employees are feeling, being at home with kids or loved ones, people getting sick, all the things, why is a safe space not the same thing as a mental escape today?
Yeah, I think traditionally a safe space is thought of a place where you can come and talk about all of those things that you just mentioned, right? Without really fear of repercussions or judgment, and being allowed to have your emotions and feelings. And the difference now is that sometimes it's as though we're getting sort of trapped in that space, right? Where that's all we're seeing on the news. It's kind of all anybody's talking about. You're trapped in your house. You don't have any other outlets where you can stop thinking about the chaos things and focus on something else, right? Just a break from that. So instead, right, people are looking for a chance to not think about and talk about those topics, and a chance to just kind of focus their mind on something else.
That's interesting. So to do a timestamp, today is July 13th, and we're not necessarily right after George Floyd's murder, but it is still very close to when it happened, and a lot of people are still grieving, and it's still very painful for a lot of people. So knowing that you have to be on both sides of the table, providing this safe space for employees to be able to discuss these challenges that they're dealing with, find camaraderie with their colleagues, and be in a space where they feel like they can talk about things and voice their opinion without being critical or criticized, whereas there's a whole other cohort of employees that are just so stressed out of hearing all of these things. Maybe they had a really bad day. They don't want to talk about it. How do you manage both of those? And then everybody that's just in between and indifferent, how do you manage all these different people when they're at different stages of dealing with a lot of these things?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's one that, you know, I'm still working through. And I think a lot of folks in the HR community are as well. But something that we've done is, you know, first and foremost, recognizing that and reminding everyone at the company that it's okay. It's okay for you to be in whatever place you're in, whether you're in the grieving phase, whether you're in the phase where you still need to talk about it, whether you're in a phase where, you know, you need to step away from that and only focus on work, like, it's okay. So first off, creating that space for people to know wherever you are, it's fine. We're here to help people, to support them, the employees, in any of those areas. And the second is then creating spaces for that. So we, you know, made sure that we have a few Slack channels dedicated specifically to different pieces of, you know, there's a lot of unrest going on right now. So on a lot of different places or pieces of that unrest. So we've created channels for people to discuss there. We have a culture committee that we've set up, and we're facilitating conversations for the team. And it's all voluntary. Whoever wants to come and join some of the discussions around different topics are welcome to join. It's never, you know, forced on anyone. And then having conversations with people managers and making sure that they feel empowered to have those conversations with their employees and say, you know, hey, what is it that you want to talk about today? Sometimes folks need 15 minutes at the beginning of a one-on-one to vent and to talk about some of the difficulties that they're going through, you know, whether it's related to social unrest or you know, COVID is still, and even more so in some areas right now, really becoming a big factor for folks. So how do you deal with those sick family members? Even when, you know, maybe now that's not the top of the news, people are still feeling that, creating that space for folks to feel that and be able to talk to their people managers about it. I don't think we have a perfect solution. We're just trying to be as human as possible and recognizing that people need different things right now and just being an open book to accept whatever that might be that people need.
When you talk about these types of talks or workshops or conversations that you're holding around these tough conversations being voluntary, how do you think employees feel when they hear the word voluntary, knowing that whether you went through layoffs or not, a lot of people are trying to be as engaged or at least be perceived as being as engaged as possible, because since everyone is home, the only way that you can show that you're involved with what's going on is to be involved virtually in the conversations. So how does an employee who wants to check out and is on that end of looking for a mental escape also show that they care about these things, but they just can't deal with it in real time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for us, we're really lucky in that we have a culture that's very inclusive and very familial. We're a smaller company. We've got about 70 people. And so even before COVID, we all know each other pretty well. So we've been really lucky in that sense that people are very forgiving with one another. And it's definitely, everyone recognizes that people are in different points of this journey. And what feels good for one person one day may not feel good for them the next day, right? Some days you want to vent and let it out. And some days you just kind of need to sit with it and mull it over. And so part of it for us is making sure people recognize it's voluntary. It's after work, traditional work hours, because we don't want folks to feel like, you know, there's any tie to their ability to do their job or our judgment of their engagement if they decide they don't want to join a conversation around racism in the workplace. We don't want to force people into those conversations. We do have diversity and inclusion training that we do make mandatory because that is part of our culture and who we are as a company. And we want to make sure that everybody is level set with the same expectations on how we treat one another and how they can expect to be treated as an employee at Urbint. But the voluntary sessions are really just a place for people to vent their emotions and their experiences and hear those from others if they want to, but we don't in any way tie it to their performance or their engagement with the company.
When it comes to creating a safe space, historically, a lot of people and even HR leaders have been hesitant, or they've really seen having these conversations as being super risky and maybe putting them off because they're afraid that it might backfire and people's feelings might get hurt. Somebody might say something that offends the other person. And then what you actually had it, this whole thing intend to do, it even makes matters worse. So how do you make a safe space safe enough where people really feel like that they can voice their opinions and be their true and authentic self, but at the same time have guardrails to make sure that it doesn't empower people to do things that would intentionally or unintentionally hurt others?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so for us, you know, we don't pretend to be experts on this. I wish I was, definitely not. And so what we're leaning on is bringing in outside facilitators to help lead these conversations, setting the initial conversation at the beginning with an expectation that this is meant to be a safe space, you know, readdressing whatever topic it is that we're going to be covering, and making sure that everybody stays true to the mission and the goal of that conversation. Again, like we're particularly lucky because we're a bit smaller and people do know each other and there is a bit more of a familial aspect to our company that we have a lot of respect that's already ingrained in our culture, and we're able to use that to leverage peaceful conversations. I think it's probably much more difficult when you have a larger company and maybe the employees are a bit more anonymous with one another. But for us, we kind of have that sense of respect built into the culture. And then, like I said, we're relying on an outside facilitator to help make sure that we're keeping to the topic and respecting everybody involved.
When it comes to the mental escape side, What types of things are you currently doing now to make sure that that happens? I mean, before, engagement looked like Zoom parties and teaching people how to make drinks on Zoom and yoga workout sessions on Zoom. And the common thread here is Zoom, Zoom everything. So what does that look like today? Does it just mean allowing people to work without talking about any of the things that are happening in the news? Or is it proactively helping people get to a better and more positive mindset?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. For us, what we've noticed, and this has been pretty recent in the past couple of weeks, is that instead of wanting to talk about things, people are asking, you know, at the beginning of meetings, like, to not talk about some of that stuff. And we're just accepting that as okay and saying again, like, it's all right. Wherever you need to be right now is fine. And if you need to use the next 45 minutes of this meeting to just really dive in and kind of put on the back burner everything else, like, that's okay too. So I think, you know, when we're thinking about work being a break from those things, we really are just letting people navigate that themselves and kind of give us the feedback on what is working best for them. At this point, we haven't come up with, you know, I think this, all of the Zoom things have gotten a bit tired. And so we're not looking at this point to create a lot of additional activities in Zoom for people to do. But instead, you know, if they want to use work as that escape and dive in, not forcing them to, or not making them feel like they have to participate in those conversations, that it's okay to come to work and just want to do work today.
The last question that I have is more of a meta question for you as an HR leader, most primarily speaking to other HR leaders who listen to our show. When we talk about this safe space, but then also mental escape, how do you do this as an HR leader? I'm so curious how HR and people leaders are thinking about creating a safe space for themselves, creating a mental escape for themselves, making sure that you're practicing self-care. You know, as the cliche on the Twitter sphere goes, you know, put your mask on first. But then at the same time, caring for all your employees and yourself as an employee. So how do you do that? And hopefully this can shed some light and provide some clarity for others who are struggling and trying to figure out how do they take care of everyone else, but then also take care of themselves as an HR leader.
Yeah. Well, to the first part of that, you know, creating a safe space for myself, I'm really lucky that our management team at Urbint is really tight-knit, very close, and always asks how I'm doing, right? I think that's something that HR leaders don't often get asked. But I'm really lucky that I have supportive leaders who do ask me that and are genuine when they ask and open it up as a space for me to say what I need to say, vent about something that's going on in my personal life. I have that space. I've also made sure to create kind of that safe space for myself with other people in the HR industry, other colleagues, whether it's from prior jobs or networking relationships, but just being able to go to someone who knows what it's like to be in on the HR side and being able to vent to them and talk to them and just kind of let it out and know that they're not going to judge me, that they've been through that kind of thing before. We're kind of in a unique position. And so having those key folks that I can go to and know that I can let it all out and they're going to be okay with hearing all of it is really important. For me, you know, taking the mental break that I need away from some of, you know, the chaos that's going outside of work is really focusing in on my job. And it's interesting because a big part of my job is being there for other people. But I'm lucky that for me, that's something that I really enjoy. That's very empowering for me. And so being able to delve into that with folks at the company is my version of delving deeply into my work. And that allows me to kind of get that break away from some of my own personal things that might be weighing heavily on me and being able to focus on someone else and helping them through that in whatever way that may look like.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest. And shout out to your management team for asking you how you're doing.
Yeah.
Because you're right. A lot of HR leaders do not get that. And so that's awesome that they are thinking about the person who is taking care of them and thinking about them all the time. So we appreciate you as well. Hope that you, your family, and everybody in your network stay safe and healthy. and really appreciate you being on the podcast. So thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Bruce. It was great to be here.
Awesome. So where can people find you and Urbint online?
Yeah, you can find tons of information about Urbint online at urbint.com. And you can find me there on our About Us page, or you can also find me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. So if this was the first time that you've ever listened to the Employee Cycle podcast, one, please give us a 5-star rating, because that's what you should do. Also, if you want to hear more episodes and you stumbled upon this because you're already a super fan of Sarah and you just wanted to hear her talk, or you thought that this topic was great and you really were interested in it, well, we have more to share. We have more to share. So please subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever else you listen to awesome podcasts. And all you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.